From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. A Master of Business Administration is the graduate degree of leaders. An MBA program can be an incubator for acquiring the business and leadership skills you may never gain otherwise. And the best thing is, you don't need to take 2 years off of your game to earn one. The University of Utah David Eccles School of Business MBA online program is an internationally accredited online MBA that ranks top 10 in the U.S., but costs 30% less than other comparably ranked programs. Utah's MBA Online features cutting-edge on-demand curriculum and weekly live web conferencing led by world-renowned faculty thought leaders. Learn with other experienced high-level professionals, executives, and entrepreneurs from around the world and complete your MBA Online anytime, anywhere in as little as 24 months. To learn more and receive a University of Utah MBA Online application fee waiver, visit utahmbaonline.com. Again, UtahMBAOnline.com. Like most entrepreneurs, Ash Sharian checks his email first thing in the morning. And one morning in December of 2014, he got a very, very bad surprise. It was the equivalent of a ticking time bomb just sitting there in his inbox.
I mean, the gist of the email was, unfortunately, we have to end our orders. It's effective as of next week. It's out of our hands. Please let me know kind of what you need from us to kind of wrap up this relationship. So it was relatively unceremonious, and it was just something that kind of popped, you know, that I happened to wake up to.
All right, let me explain what's going on here so you can understand just how bad of an email this was. Ash is the CEO of a startup called Thistle, and back then, Thistle's primary business was selling cold-pressed juices. Its biggest client, the ones buying all those cold-pressed juices, was Square, the payments company. And this had been a huge account. Like transformative, Square was stocking its offices with Thistle juice and in turn paying Thistle a lot of money. That meant Square was very, very important to Thistle. How important? Square was actually providing about 70% of Thistle's revenue. Everything that Thistle did was in some way or another reliant upon Square as a customer. And now, just like that, no more Square.
And so It you know, after the kind of the initial shock of it went away, you know, we kind of did what kind of I think kind of most entrepreneurs would do in our situation, which was, you know, figure out how the hell do we kind of make this work, given the fact that we've now lost 70% of our incoming revenue.
What do you possibly do? This is a literal rug pulled out from under scenario where the very foundation the company was standing on suddenly gets yanked away. So what next? A leader has to start asking themselves some very hard questions like, what can we afford? Are we in the right business? Do we have the right people? Can we even retain the right people anymore? And frankly, is it even worth continuing this business? In this episode, we're going to go through how Ash and his co-founder answered those questions, and 4 years later, their answers have gotten them to a pretty great place. And that place is actually, actually right now, it's a stairwell. That's where Ash spoke to me from because his office that day was pretty noisy and the stairs were the only place he could find that had minimal banging and commotion.
So hopefully this is less echoey, clear, checks all the boxes.
Okay, very good. So where are you? You guys are moving. Why are you moving in 3 weeks?
We are moving because we've outgrown our space.
Thistle, the company that once abruptly lost 70% of its revenue, is at an exciting moment. They used to share their space with another company, but Thistle is growing steadily. It employs 35 people, and everyone's on top of each other in that cramped office, so they are moving somewhere bigger.
It provides a morale boost for people because they get very excited that this is kind of part of kind of what it feels like to kind of be at a fast-growing, you know, tech company in the Bay Area.
Imagine it. Going from the lowest moment in company history when you get an email saying your biggest client is walking away to reaching the high moment of moving offices and giving your entire team a big morale boost. How did Thistle get from one to the other? How do you turn around a nightmare scenario and create a new, sturdier rug underneath your feet? We'll get into it all right after the break. FedEx delivers millions of packages around the world. But for FedEx, it's not just about packages or pallets. It's about what those deliveries mean for people. Whether it's rekindling a long-lost connection between old friends, a new business opportunity, or providing much-needed hope after a natural disaster in the form of relief supplies, FedEx delivers more than just packages. FedEx delivers possibilities. Find out more at fedex.com/possibilities.
And now, our second sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Jamf Now. Jamf Now makes it easy to set up, manage, and protect your Apple devices. You know, it's easy to keep track of your own Mac, iPad, or iPhone, but what about the other Apple devices at work? As a business grows, so does its digital inventory, making it harder to manage everyone's Apple devices. This is especially true if employees are remote. With Jamf Now, you can check your digital inventory, distribute Wi-Fi and email settings, deploy apps, protect company data, and even lock or wipe a device as needed from anywhere. Jamf Now manages devices so you can focus on your business instead. No IT experience needed. Problem Solvers listeners, start securing your business today, setting up your first 3 devices for free forever. Add more starting at just $2 a month per device. Create your account today at jamf.com/problem solvers. That's jamf.com/problem solvers, which is all one word. All right, we're back. So before understanding the mess Thistle got itself into, let's understand what Thistle was trying to build. And it all starts, actually, with Ash and his wife, Shiri. They got married in 2012, and at the time were working what seemed like impressive jobs. Ash was a corporate lawyer doing large M&A transactions, and Shiri had just finished her PhD and was a research scientist at NYU looking at the impact of air pollution on crop yields. And yet, both of them were frustrated.
I was in the profession of making very rich people slightly richer, and my wife was trying very hard and unsuccessfully to affect large-scale policy changes by making economic arguments for why people should make sustainable choices.
In 2013, they decided to leave their jobs and build something together. They wanted to do something that they felt made an impact, that was good for people. And because Ash comes from a long line of medical professionals, he had this insight that he's always heard from his family members. A lot of people's illnesses come from their bad diet and lifestyles. Maybe, Ash and Shiri thought, they could contribute to improving people's diet and lifestyles.
So neither of us had any background when it came to food, but so step one was, well, if by definition part of the solution is providing people healthy products, can two people that have zero food backgrounds create a product that people would simply pay for and would choose over existing products in the market?
So they moved from New York to San Francisco and decided to start by making cold-pressed juices. The category was really heating up at the time, especially in cities like San Fran, and the product was fairly straightforward to produce. So they developed a line of juices and launched late 2013 and got the word out in this really clever way. They'd find restaurants in the Bay Area that didn't open for lunch and then approach them and say, hey, listen, you're not monetizing those hours right now, so let us do it for you. We'll come in and set up a pop-up shop to sell our juice, and we'll give you a cut of the revenue. Plenty of restaurants said yes, and so Ash and Shiri began setting up shop and getting their juices into the hands of lots of locals. And then things moved really fast. So within 3 weeks of launching, Thistle had scored a meeting with Square. The timing was just crazy. Square was already providing cold-pressed juices to its employees, but wasn't happy with its current provider, and someone at Square had checked out one of Thistle's pop-up shops and liked the product.
I remember that meeting very clearly because at the end of it, they said, great, we would love to order 700 juices from you guys. And our business was not set up to produce nearly that much. But obviously, as any kind of entrepreneur would do in that situation, I said, absolutely, would love to do that. And I remember kind of wrapping up saying, fantastic, you guys are all set for 700 juices next week. And I remember the culinary director turning to me and saying, no, we meant 700 juices per day, at which point my brain nearly exploded.
But this is a common moment for entrepreneurs. It's that moment when someone says, hey, can you do this? And the honest answer is, I don't know.
But that's not what you say. What you say is, yes, I can do it. Of course I can do it. And so that's what Ash and Shiri do. They say, yes, Square, we can provide you 700 juices per day. No problem. And then they scramble like hell to do it, quickly hiring people and recruiting friends and family to help, and basically not sleeping while scaling up production. And they did it. By late 2013, Thistle was providing all the juice that Square wanted. And once Square was happy, Thistle could go to other corporate clients and say, hey, we're the company providing Square with all its cold pressed juices. And that worked. Soon enough, Thistle had a bunch of other clients too. And even better, Thistle began creating a new line of business by doing on-demand juices and food. Like someone could order juice from the Thistle website and they'd deliver it. So all that felt really good. Lots of growth and expanding business, but a shadow always loomed not far away.
But in the back of our minds, we knew that there was this incredible customer concentration risk.
Customer concentration risk. In other words, too much of Thistle's business was concentrated in one client relationship. This is not the first time we've dealt with this problem on Problem Solvers, and it surely won't be the last, because it's one of the great paradoxes of running a business. Sometimes the biggest clients, the best paying clients, can be bad for the long-term health of your business because you become too reliant upon them. You lose control of your own business because everything is dependent upon what one customer wants or needs or how long it'll stick around. And sure enough, almost exactly 1 year after Square began buying Thistle's juices, it sent that email to Ash saying that it was done. Square at the time was preparing for its IPO and looking very closely at all its expenses. And Ash suspects that they just saw the money they were spending on cold pressed juices and said, yeah, that seems like a pretty easy way to save some cash. So that's how, on one random day, 70% of Thistle's revenue disappeared. So if you're Ash and Shiri, what do you do next?
Yeah, so first step was for us figuring out, well, what is this going to affect when it comes to cash flow?
Thistle was doing a lot with the money that it made from Square. It had hired a great production team, a great logistics team. And remember, it had also created that separate side of the business for on-demand delivery of juices and food. Ash and Shiri now had to make a lot of hard decisions about what was worth keeping and what could they even afford to keep. So they first began calling around to their most trusted people in their network, telling them what's going on and asking for advice. And I can't stress how critical this is, by the way. It's easy to feel totally ashamed and embarrassed by a situation like this. But the thing is, everyone goes through some version of it. So talk it out. Tell the people you trust. Get their advice. It's always better than dealing with something alone. And one of the pieces of advice that Ash and Shiri got was this: be transparent with your staff. So they were.
So we called a meeting later that morning with our entire staff. Let them know that this was the situation, that we were looking to examine how we could react and make sure that everyone's job, to the extent possible, was protected. But we were also upfront with the notion that people should start looking, because without the revenue, we obviously couldn't justify having as much headcount.
After that, Ash and Shiri figured out which of their team members were more likely to get laid off so that they could give those people the most advanced notice. They also killed off that on-demand juice and food business because it was a crowded field with a lot of well-funded competitors and frankly just didn't seem like that healthy, scalable business. Then Ash and Shiri dropped their salaries to zero, put some of their personal savings into the company, and also raised $150,000 from investors to keep the whole thing afloat, and then told their team all about that. That way, people understood that they were really still invested in this company and were doing the best they could to save it. But what were they going to do to save it? That was the big question, and they spent the next 2 months trying to answer it. Here is what they knew for sure. One, they wanted to continue to provide healthy products for people. That was the original mission, after all. Two, they weren't going to do it by selling directly to companies, because there just weren't that many big companies looking to buy large quantities of product for its employees, like Square did with the juice. And even when you find one, there's no guarantee it'll stick around for long, like Square with the juice. And three, whatever they were going to do next, it couldn't be some kind of on-demand service. They tried it back when they had a lot of revenue coming in and discovered that it's a really, really hard business, in part because you can never predict exactly what demand is going to be, which means that you end up overproducing. You make, for example, way more juice per day than will end up being ordered, and then you're stuck losing a lot of money on that wasted product. So, okay, what now? Here's always a good place to start. ask your users. I mean, Thistle was a company in total disrepair, but it had spent the past year plus serving very happy customers. Maybe that relationship could continue.
Yeah, so I think we were lucky enough in that there were sufficient people that knew about our brand. So customers that had either purchased from some of our pop-ups or had exposure to our product at the underlying companies, that we had this initial list of people that said, hey, I know that you guys stopped delivering to these companies. Is there any way for us to kind of get these products?
And Thistle came up with an answer. It was a subscription model for food, juice, and snacks. It developed a menu of food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all meals that, according to the company, are designed to meet your nutritional needs and contain organic foods that are free of added sweeteners and preservatives. If Thistle could get people to order this stuff in advance, then the company would know exactly how much it needed to make on a certain day, and it would be able to optimize its drivers to deliver everything really efficiently. So Thistle sent out an offer to the customers it was in touch with and said, hey, want to try this? All people would have to do is order at least a week before the first delivery. And about 30 people said, yeah, I'll try it. Now, is 30 a lot of customers? No, but it's a starting point and a way to work out some of the kinks of a brand new model. Most businesses take time to build, Ash says. You don't do it building by building, you do it brick by brick. And also, even in a small but important way, it was a proof of concept for some very important skeptics.
We thought that was an incredible win because some of our existing investors thought that there was no universe that people would be ordering food ahead on a subscription basis and then continuing to do that week over week.
With 30 customers in, Thistle got to work. They needed to now have a website with a functioning subscription system where people could pick out the food they wanted and pick the time they wanted it delivered. And, you know, that's a whole bunch of tech. Expensive tech that requires expensive engineers to build. And Thistle was, let's not forget, operating with very, very little money to spare and certainly no cash to hire awesome, expensive engineers. So what do? They improvised.
So we actually used a bunch of third-party tools that made it seem like a bunch of things were automated, but it was really a bunch of manual processes. So, for example, when an order was placed, we'd have these seemingly automated delivery confirmations go out to customers, but it was really a manual email that was sent that made it seem like it was automated. During the delivery process, we would send text notifications that said, your order is 5 minutes away, and it seemed like there was technology behind that, but it wasn't. It was literally us looking at maps, and then when it was 5 minutes away, texting individual customers.
You do what you have to do, right? But also, for as crazy-making as it was to be manually sending out text messages to customers and manually sending out all these automated-looking emails, this bootstrapping process turned out to be really useful. It meant that Thistle could learn a lot about its customers and their needs, and what kind of system Thistle needed to build, and they could do all of that before investing any money in engineers. Other companies might blow a ton of cash building a fully automated system that didn't really work. Thistle was just learning as it went, and learn it did. It began adjusting everything from the menu to the serving portions to the nutritional mix.
So we launched with that. We started piloting that in March of 2015. We relaunched it, you know, with a full-blown offering in May. And around October of that year, we knew we were onto something. Our existing customers were staying with us week over week and providing really great feedback. They were telling their friends, which meant that we were getting new customers through word of mouth, which is always a really, really great sign. And ultimately, people, the biggest point of feedback was they wanted us to get and provide more product. And so at that point, kind of about 5 months in, we started to get real confidence that this was a business model that could work and a product and a service that people would really, really love.
By later that year, they'd brought in some engineers and a product designer, and they've just continued to grow from there. Today, Thistle has a lot to show for its new model. It has 300 people working for it, and they sell tens of thousands of meals on any given week, serving the Bay Area and greater Los Angeles. And listen, does this mean that Thistle is in the clear and on its way to guaranteed success? No, of course not. They are in a very competitive category. There are a lot of meal delivery services out there, and some of them have national coverage and have crazy amounts of money behind them. Without question, there is a lot of ground left to cover for Thistle, and a lot of proving left to do. But I think it's fair to also say that Thistle serves as a good model of the first pivot. When you start a company, have some initial success, then discover that the thing that made you a success was also possibly your greatest weakness, every company will reach some moment like this, some point of failure, some time when you realize you didn't entirely understand what you'd built or where its problems were. So then you do what Thistle did. That's all you can do. You step back. You identify the core value of your company, you understand what your user wants from you, and how to serve it in a way that'll set you up for long-term success. And then, slowly, maybe even 30 customers at a time, you start rebuilding, and you see where it goes from there. And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonpfeiffer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Pfeiffer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, jasonpfeiffer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.